Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us here today. I pray for your blessing of the Holy Spirit to be upon our congregation today and upon my words. Lift us up to you and thank you for this moment together. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hi, today's scripture reading is Matthew 10:1. Matthew 10:1. And this is out of the New King James Version. And when he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits, to cast them out, to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease.
Do we have special music today? Not here? Guess I'm next. Jim, we're ready for you now. I just had to say that to you. Someday, right? No. When the Spirit calls. Maybe. Okay. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, these words I'm about to talk to this congregation about, lift them up. Put a fire, a spark in our hearts, because we live in a lost and dying world, but through the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, we're all saved by the choices we make. Please, Father in heaven, abide with us now and bless my words. I present them in Jesus' name. Amen. Are you bored of religion? Go to church every week, the same old, same thing. Do I need to have a strong walk with Jesus? Is it dull or not interesting? Is my love for Him so weak? Maybe my mind is diverted to worldly things. I did not like where I was at. I was in this condition of many, many years ago. Now, I was baptized in this church as a young boy, and I remember before this church was away from the road, it was back, there was a pews that sat over here, and the podium's out. You remember, Bill, that time. And my dad would march us boys right over here. And we sat there, and the pastor would be up front preaching the word. After the years go by, I got disinterested. I still went to church. That was the shell. Of religion, but where was the relationship of Jesus in my heart? Very interesting. So I make a question. What is your relationship like? Same old? Would you rather be somewhere else than church today? These are questions in the mind, you know. You know, I just had a love for Christ here in my heart recently. more than ever before since I've begun to be an elder. And it's made me appreciate more my church family than ever before. When I'm out on the highway, I'm out on the road, I think of all the things and of people's faces. I see Adam and I see Sherry and the other Sherry, and it reminds me and it brings me home out in a strange place. And that's what I like to do, is think of these things, and I pray for my family. And I have something for you to share with you. But before I share my story, I would like to go into the scriptures just a little bit here this morning. We're going to Matthew 10. We already read verse 1. Well, I'm going to read verse 5 through 10 and then verse 20. Get my glasses on here so I can see what I'm doing. Starting at verse 5. These 12 Jesus went forth, sent forth, and commanded them, saying, go into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans. Enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead. These men were supposed to raise the dead. What kind of character these fellas have? I remember reading somewhere that Peter, James, and John was son of thunder. They were arguing all the time. Cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. Provide neither gold or silver, nor brass in your purses, nor scrip your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, not yet staves. Let's see. Nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat. I'm going to go over to 20. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your fathers which speaketh in you. So you've got a clear example, believe it or not, of Jesus sending out a group of men that saw the miracles, saw what he had done, given patiently working with people that were fairly ignorant of the truth, and giving them the ability to do all these things. Do you think in this congregation today we have the same blessing? You truly live it? Do you truly think it? That we are so in love with Christ, so absorbed in His life, and that we read these words and that we're commissioned to go out. Another thought. Let's go to Revelation 14, 6 through 7. This is a commission for us today. And I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God, give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment is come, and worship Him that made heaven and earth, and the sea and the fountains of waters. There's our commission today. And it's just not me that read this, but it's for everyone. Because I'm like you, just a layman. So these things we think about, if we want the relationship with Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and if you feel bored with church, or you're bored with things, try witnessing to someone. Try to get on your knees, I should say. Get on your knees and say, Lord, put someone in my path that I could witness your love to, or I could lift someone up. All of a sudden, that bored life that you had with your religion and God, you can't wait to get in this church. You can't wait for Sabbath to come because you've got to tell what happened to you this week. And that sparks that interrelationship. I don't know how Jesus could let these men have the power to do such work. He must have known them very well. I'm amazed. Personal reflection. A personal understanding. A giving of oneself. Could your walk with Jesus be trusted? Would you go out and be partners with him and grow this church and have the fruits of his spirit? Heal the sick, give sight to the blind. Echoes in my mind. Breaker, breaker, 1-9. How about you, Red Rooster? Where are you at back there? Bring up the back door. Hey, Diesel Smoke, I see you up there, man. I'm a bringing up the back door. I'm a coming on. That was the CB lingo. Many years ago, I met this fella in Mesa, Arizona. Before I went out there, I prayed and I says, Lord, please put someone in my life that I could witness to. And I was bored with my religion. So I started my journey all the way out to Arizona. I had a grocery stop. They call it a grocery stop. We had many stops. They call it a grocery stop here and there to McCroy's stores. And I ended up in Tucson, Arizona. And I called dispatch. He says, well, you got to pick up a load of onions to go to Port Newark, New Jersey. I said, all right. Took the numbers down. It was supposed to be in Mesa, Arizona, up by Phoenix, first thing in the morning. I think it was around about Wednesdays, many, many years ago. It's the very early 80s. Well, as I started out, I got up there first thing in the morning, and boy, the whole place, man, there was all these Latino people. They were loading the trailers, and they had big conveyors and all these bags of onions just going in the back of these trailers. And I walked over, and I saw this one fella. He had a flatbed trailer. We were both side by side, and they had the conveyor pulled up in the back of my trailer, and they were loading his, and noticed him and his wife together, and she was a Native American, and she was a very, very, well, very well-built lady, I would say, if you want to put it that way, and she was pretty outgoing, outspoken, I could tell. And he came over, and he asked me, he says, are you going to go to Port Newark, New Jersey? And I says, yep, I'm going to be going there. He says, you want to have some company, go run together. And I says, well, certainly, sure. And so after we got our trailers all loaded up and everything, we headed out. And we talked back and forth on the CB radio, and he said to me, hey, Diesel Smoke, my wife wants to talk to you. So I'm up in the front. I was running point, as they call it. We call it in the trucking. And so I says, yeah, go ahead. Hey, Mr. Smoke, you want some fruit? And I says, what? Would you say, you want some fruit? I got some fruit. I can give you some fruit. And I says, okay, sure, bring it on up. Big 10-4, no problem, you know. So next thing you know, he pulls out from behind me, and he's running that rig up, and both of us are going together, and we got over close to each other, and she's got this bag of fruit hanging out the window, And of course, other things were flapping in the breeze or the wind too, you know, and she was just out there, and there's this pretty set woman, and she was out there, and she wanted me to grab that bag, and so I'm driving, I'm looking in my mirror, and all of a sudden, here they come up beside me, so I reach out, and I grab that bag of fruit and brought it in, and sure enough, I had me a bag of fruit, and that was fun. We had a great time all the way up to the first stop we made was and we pulled in and got fuel up, sat down, we were eating some dinner. And the man says to me, "You're a Christian, aren't you?" I says, "Well, yes, I am, sir. How'd you know?" "Oh, I could tell. You're different from the rest." And of course, his wife sort of said, "Oh, no." And boy, she had a mouth on her worse than five state troopers in a truck stop. She was pretty rough, pretty crude. And she was just rolling her eyes over her head. And so I says, "Yep, I'm a Christian." He says, "You know, Christian people are a lot different." He says, "And you can always tell them wherever we go." Well, we got done eating, we got driving, we got up into New Mexico, spent the first night. Well, the second night we spent up towards Dallas, Texas. And back in them days, trucks weren't that powerful, so it took a long time to get distance. Like today, it's like you're there, you know. So we had his load of onions, and he didn't have them covered. And I remember that we stopped at fuel in Fort Worth, just on the west side. And there was a big storm off to the northwest brewing. You could see the lightning coming down, but it was pretty dark. So it was coming on strong, and the wind was blowing. He says, "You think we ought to cover my onions in the truck, you know, in the trailer, because it was wide open, and we had to put a tarp over and protect them." He said, "No." I said, "No." I says, "Just roll. Let's get going. Let's take the time right now." And he says, "Okay." So we got rolling there after we fueled up. And he knew his way up through Fort Worth and up in Dallas. And he says, "There's a truck stop on a CB." He says, "A truck stop on the other side of Dallas, Texas. And the other side, and it's a Union 76. So I says, "Okay, we're going for it." So we're really pushing up through there. A little mist on the window, and he says, "I don't know, I better pull on an overpass and tarp these onions." I said, "No, I talked to the Lord," and I says, "He's going to protect your onions. Don't worry, we'll get up there." Because you don't want to tarp a load down on the side of the road, because you could get really hurt bad or get killed. So finally we got up there, and I helped him tarp the onions down and everything, and the wind was a-blowing hard and everything. And the minute I got in the truck and I went to sleep, lightning coming down, and the rain was just coming down in torrents. It was just coming down hard, you know. I fell asleep. I woke up next morning. All of a sudden, this on the side of my door, and I woke up, and I said, "Whoa, what's that?" You know, I look out, and here he was, Red Rooster, standing out there. I don't know the guy's name. I can't remember it. He's standing out, he says, "Get out of that truck. I got to talk to you, man. It's a real miracle happened, a real miracle." And he's talking to me about this miracle. I says, "Man, what happened, you know?" And so I got out of the truck, and he says, "I'm buying you breakfast." He says, "I can't believe it." He says, "We travel all the way through Dallas and that, and it didn't rain on onions." He says, "The minute you got a tarp down, boom, it rained." He says, "That's a miracle to me. I never was involved in a miracle in my whole entire life." He says, that is awesome." He said, "That's great." So here we are. He's buying me breakfast and talking to me, and his wife, so he says, "Oh, boy, how low have we gone now?" You know, she's over there fuming and everything, you know. And after we got settled down, we ate, and we talked about the Lord a little bit. I talked about him trying to be very helpful with him in his truck and, you know, doing things. But we got all the way up to Arkansas, and it was Friday evening, and we were going through the scale to truck stops. His clutch went out on his truck right on the scale. He couldn't get going. And he radioed ahead. He told me, he says, "Look," he says, "if you can go up to the truck stop," he says, "I'll be there." He says, "I'll figure it out." And I said, "Okay, fine," on a CB. So somehow, usually you put it in gear and you hit the starter and it'll take off. So he got in the truck stop, and so I says, "Well, everything going to be all right? How are you going to do it?" He says, "I'm going to change that clutch tonight." He says, "I'm going to go rent me a jack, and I'm going to pull that transmission out of that truck and get her fixed." And so he did. I told him, I says, "Well, I don't usually work on Friday evenings and Saturdays, I usually shut down because of my religious belief, and I usually have my worship time. But I said, but if you do need help, I'll help you. He said, okay. So I didn't hear anything from him, and I was in the far corner. And I woke up the next morning, and I went over there. He had that thing all changed, new clutch in his truck, everything, all done. I says, man, you worked almost all night long. He says, yeah, I have 4 or 5 guys come over and help me to get this changed. I said, well, that's great. I said, well, I've been praying for you. And he says, well, I thank you for your prayers. He says, well, I'm going to keep going. If you're going to stay, I want to keep riding. So I didn't see him again after that for, well, we'll finish the story in a minute. So I spent the Sabbath, quiet time, and I was reading Steps to Christ at the time. And I had a really enjoyable time reading Steps to Christ. I'm really in this book. And it was really towards evening time, just before sun went down, went and got some supper in a truck stop. And as I was walking out, I felt somebody following me. It was kind of close. It was an African-American fellow. And he says, sir. And I turned around and looked. Is you talking to me? He says, yeah. He says, can I ride with you? You're going east, aren't you? And I says, yeah, I'm going east. He says, can I ride with you? And I says, well, I don't take strangers in my truck. I says, I don't know who you are. He says, no. He says, no, let's talk a while and you get to know me. He says, I need a ride back. I'm over these guys. They're all drunk and it's a moving van and I'm tired of being with them. And he says, and I need to get to Virginia. I says, well, I don't know. I don't think I can do it. So I was over there and I says, well, wait a minute. I says, I'm over in the far corner. Just meet me over there. So he come over, and I was having my sundown worship, you know. And he come up to me, come to the door, and he says, can I get in your truck? And we'll talk once you get to know me, so, you know, we aren't strangers. And I says, sure, fine. So he got in the truck, and I'm sitting there reading. And all of a sudden he asked me, he says, how do you become a Christian? And what would you say? Become a Christian is to get to know Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, personally. And I turned my head away and I started to pray because I turned, he was over here and I was over there. I said, Lord, give me the right words to say, you know. So I says, it's like this book. This book says Steps to Christ. And I start reading this book and it's like having a relationship with him. When I start reading this book, it starts to work, the Holy Spirit works in the mind of the person. He says, oh, okay. I says, well, I'm getting ready to leave. I says, you can go, get your stuff, and I'll meet me at the fuel aisle, and I'm going to fuel up and get going. So it's pretty late in the evening now, Saturday evening. So I'm fueling up. He's helping me, and we're doing things. We got a couple of beverages, and we took off. And so he took Steps to Christ. And he's over there, and it's getting pretty dark, and so he's over there reading this. Now, I may scare you what I'm about to do, so be prepared. And he's over there, and he's reading it. Praise the Lord, he says. And I'm like almost swerved off the road. I'm not kidding you. This is exactly what he did. And I looked over at him, and he was so emotional. He had tears come down his eyes. This book is really speaking to me. I never read a book so beautiful like this. It was the first chapter, you know, God's Love for Man. And it was just speaking to him. And I about drove off the road, man. He scared me out of my mind. It was so quiet. We're cool. We're going up the road. And all of a sudden, he's yelling, praise the Lord. And we had a most awesome talk about the Lord Jesus. And he talked about his life. Tremendous, tremendous testimony to each other. Total strangers. It was awesome time. Well, we drove through the night, and I dropped him off in Virginia. I went home to see my wife. I ain't seen her in about 3 weeks. And that morning, I had those onions on. I had to get him up to Port Newark. So I got up Sunday afternoon. I took off and went up. No, it was very early Sunday morning, I remember. And it was raining, and it was coming down. And I got up to Port Newark right around about, I think it's 7, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock in that time. Guess who I found? Red Rooster and his wife. They're up there. And the minute I got there, I was going to check in. It's raining like mad. He jumps out of his truck and he's running over. He says, I got to talk to you. I got to really talk to you bad. Can you get in the truck? I said, well, wait till I check in. So I checked in. I come over to his truck. He sat me in his driver's seat. He sat in the middle. It was one of the big cab over types, no big nose. It was a cab over type truck. And his wife is on the other side. He's sitting in the middle because he was kind of a short guy. He says, they won't unload me. I said, excuse me? He says, they won't unload me because the facility's outdoors and the onions can't get wet and they're going to have to wait for the rain to stop. He says, the forecast says it's not going to stop and I don't know what I'm going to do. I says, oh boy. He says, would you pray for us? Yeah, I can pray for you, but now I'm really stuck out on a limb because now it's raining. He asked me to pray for it, the rain to stop, and I says, what am I going to do? Well, I'm new in this faith game. I'm having a relationship with Jesus now. This is starting to really come together. So the Holy Spirit says, okay, I will do it. So just before I did, his wife says, I promise the Lord, if it stopped raining, I go to church every Sunday. And and of course, for her to say that, it's got to be an awful lot because knowing how the judgment of her character, her background, whoa, you know. But she was going to promise. So I prayed. We all held hands. I prayed and asked the Lord. And it rained harder. So I says, okay. They called me on a CB radio because they called the number and then it could get a door. So I drove my truck around back then. Just as I backed in, he started to load me. Guess what happened? It stopped raining. And it, no rain. So I went over and told the stevedore, I says, listen, let that guy in the flatbed, he says, you got no rain here. I said, let him back in right away. He says, you know, that's a good idea. A good thing you reminded me. I just happened to mention it to him. Because usually those guys will tell you to go get lost. So they called him in. He's got the truck backed in there, and they're unloading him at four or five guys, unloading him like mad, and he's with a big grin on his face. I didn't see his wife. I seen him, a big, big grin on his face. And I got unloaded. I pulled off the side. And then finally I went over there. He said, I can't believe this. He says, this is, God must really love me, he said, to stop the rain and get my load unloaded. So after it was done, he came over and he shook my hand, tears in his eyes. He said, probably I'll never see you again. But he says, I'll never forget this time. I didn't see him again. It's a vast nation we live in, especially in the transportation. There's a lot of trucks, a lot of people. And you know, we go to work every day. We see these people that we work with. Sometimes we get to know them pretty good. Or do we get to know them real good? I got one more story to tell you. I hope I don't story you out. This week had been a most awesome week I think I've ever had in my trucking career witnessing for Jesus, my Lord and Savior. And it wasn't planned. I just prayed. Lord, when I started my load, my work, Sunday morning, I says, please help me to witness to somebody this week. It was the least person I ever thought I would end up witnessing the Lord Jesus to. Hardcore, motorcycle guy. Some of his words were, I get on my Harley and I'm riding into hell. It's where I'm going. That was his words. A lot of negativism. And I would say, that ain't the way it's going to be. It isn't going to be on a motorcycle with glory. It's just, you ever heard of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? He's, oh, I've heard all this. And we talked and talked and talked for mile and mile, on and off. But he would bring the subject up. I did not. We ended up in Quebec, Canada in the morning. After all was said and done, I spent the whole week with this young man. He told me his life story. I cried. I couldn't hold back the tears. He was the oldest child out of 10. His mother beat him all the time and said, before you're 10 years old, I'm going to kill you. He said that with tears in his eyes to me, and he was swearing and cursing and saying terrible things about his parents. I was stunned. I would have known him to be like that. I've known him for a couple of years. And he told me the story. 9 years old. He picked up, packed what little stuff he had, and he was walking up the road, and he met his father coming the other way. And he said a lot of curse words about his dad, too. He went to live with his uncle. And he went in and he told his uncle, he said, I'm sick and tired. And he was all, had bloody nose and his face was mangled, messed up. He said he was in bad shape, hurting really bad. And he lived with his aunt and uncle. He says his aunt died recently. But to know this man, you would have never known it, but yet his character was so rebellious, so hurting. I looked in his face. I didn't know what to say, but the Holy Spirit said it to him. Did you know God did not mean this to happen this way? It's because it's a result of sin. It's ugly without God in it. Without God in your life, there's no restraint to the destruction, to the hurt, to the misery that brings upon. That's what I told him. He says, you're right. You're right. I don't know what impression I left upon this man, but the Lord does. And I want to tell you something. My walk with Christ has never been the same since years ago when I went through that couple of weeks witnessing and praying and asking Jesus to work in my life. Do you want to grow this church? Do you want more people to be here? You've got to let the Lord Jesus work in your heart. Open it up and put you in the place or that person, ask for him to be put in that place so you can say those words so the seeds are sown, because we are living in a very short time. All around us, our world is in a world of hurt. But I want to testify to you today, I love Jesus so much in my heart. Now, I have my moments. My wife, she asked, if you ask her, she'll tell you some awful things about me. Jesus forgives me. And I want to be forgiven. And I don't want to be saved in my sin. I want to be saved out of my sin. I want to be saved out of this world. I want to be saved in the arms of Jesus. And I want His character imputed upon me. I'm a leader. I asked to be one of those 144,000, that character of Christ, the first fruits, the virgin. That's all of our prayers should be. Every day, every moment, reflecting the love of Jesus. That's hard to do when we live in a world that's constantly bombarding us, and we do have those weaknesses. So let Jesus work His will in us if we're willing to be made willing. Have a nice Sabbath. Yep. Stand up and raise them up.
The closing hymn is 612, Onward Christian Soldiers. Please stand.
with your cross, my Lord, my God, my Jesus. Let us go forth. Protect us this week. Go before these dear saints. Touch their hearts and their lives. Protect them as they go home. And bring them back here again for this beautiful worship time you've given us. In Jesus' holy name.